People think comic book is nothing, but comic book shoots right across young culture in America. It shoots right to the kids. It hits key kids who are decision makers in their groups. Comic books are read by people who read. Comic books are commented on by people who think. They're not for stupid people, and they're not for ignorant people, and they're not for non-leaders. They are for everybody, but as from my experience, they go directly to people who have things to say, who will have things to say in the future. And the fact that they're being done the way they are, and the fact that they're being done by people who really care about what's going on in America, is, I believe, is going to make a difference. And it's not a small thing that's happening there, and I'm very happy to see it happen.
That was Neil Adams speaking on an early episode of Nuff Set. To hear thought-provoking and entertaining discussion on the subject of comics, tune in every Tuesday night at 10 p.m. for Nuff Said here on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM. And visit our website, nuffsaid.net, for our upcoming schedule of guests. See you there.
And you're listening to radio station WBAI New York, where the time is either 2 o'clock in the morning or 8 o'clock, depending on where you are. And that means it must be time for Off the Hook.
The telephone keeps ringing, so I ripped it off the wall. I cut myself while shaving, now I can't make a call. We couldn't get much worse, but if they could, they would. Oh, Billy Bones was the best.
Very good evening, Torwin and all. Actually, a very good morning for where I'm standing. Isaac, are you there?
Yes, sir, I am. How are you doing?
Well, I'm doing pretty good. And as per my promise, I am standing right now in hell.
I don't have the music here, so I'm sorry.
I'm sorry?
You didn't leave me the music.
No. I figured you might come up with some hell music of your own.
No, unfortunately, I'm not that prepared here.
I had to literally go through hell to get to hell, and it's pretty funny how I managed to pull this off. Basically, I've been wandering around northern Norway for the last few days, and just pulled into Trondheim a few hours ago, which is a big, fairly big city in Norway. What I didn't realize was that we passed right through hell, and the car that I planned on renting was at the airport, and not in the town of Trondheim, and the airport is a lot closer to hell than the town was, which is where the train station is. So I had to actually take a taxi all the way out here and race the clock, because the car rental place is closed at a certain time here, and get a car so I could drive literally half a mile to the hell train station and stand here now. But, you know, it's worth it just to say that
you're
I'm
in hell.
In hell.
Yes.
I'm in hell. Our phone system seems to be in hell, too, because right now we should be making this phone call on the BAI phone system, but unfortunately, as almost always, the BAI phone system refuses to deal logically with phone numbers. It doesn't seem to like Norway. I don't know why.
And nor do I. It says we didn't dial enough numbers.
Well, we dialed enough
numbers. Extra numbers.
The phone numbers are 8 digits long. If that's not enough numbers,
exactly.
I don't know what is.
Exactly.
Just to prove how stupid the WBAI phone system is, I'm going to give out the phone number right now, okay? I'm going to give out the phone number that the BAI phone system refuses to call because there aren't enough numbers. And if people want to call this payphone, and I'm standing right now, I'm on a cell phone. I'm on a GSM cell phone right now. This is the height of stupidity. Inside a phone booth.
But the GSM cell phone is very cool in and of itself, because you just hopped on a plane and it worked.
Yeah. Well, I have the tri-band. Actually, let me show you something really cool, all right? Hold on, I'm going to put you on hold, and listen to what happens.
You're going to put us on hold?
Din samtal är satt på vänting. Vänligt håll linjen. Your call has been placed on hold. Please hold the line.
At least they got decent music.
Din samtal är satt på vänting. Vänligt håll linjen. Your call has been placed on hold. Please hold.
You there?
It's a little less irritating when you do it. I mean, if this were some large corporation I was calling, you know, that tends to be really bothersome.
Well,
but that was pleasant music.
See, I can't hear it, so I don't know exactly what happened. Why don't you describe it for me?
Well, we had this operator speak to us in Norwegian, telling us that our call is being placed on hold, and then she told us in English that our call is being placed on hold, and they had this really nice little jazz ensemble thing going on.
Now, somehow that happens on my phone when I put somebody on hold.
Like
it's kind of weird.
Like a call waiting
GSM,
thing?
GSM is capable of doing so many different things that we don't do in the United States. It can switch among all different companies. Like, for instance, when I was in Holland at one point, I had a choice of four different companies that I could choose from at any point, and they all do different things. In this particular case, I have two companies in Norway, and one of them, whenever I put a call on hold, it just puts hold music on. And that can be very annoying to some people, but the fact that it's a capability of the phone or the phone network is just something interesting and something that we don't take full advantage of.
No doubt.
But just to show how stupid this whole thing is, I'm giving out the phone number now. So if people want to call this payphone, they're welcome to. And maybe I can take some phone calls after the show from people who want to call in to Norway. I don't think hell is going to show up on your phone bill, though, because the way they do it here in Norway is they have a particular phone number that you call. And then after you call that phone number, you enter a special six-digit code, and that rings the payphone. I don't know why they do it that way, but that's how it works.
We never even got that far.
I'm sorry?
We never even got that far.
No, we never did. The country code is 47, so if you're in the United States, you dial 01147. And then the number that you dial after that is 82000220. All right, and then after all that, you'll hear some guy speaking in Norwegian for a bit. He's basically asking you to key in some numbers. I think you have to wait for him to finish before you actually key in the numbers. And the numbers in this case are 601226. So let's see if anybody can do that and make the phone that is in the phone booth with me ring and disrupt the entire show.
Well, we'll hear that. That'll be interesting.
Yeah, you'll hear what a Norwegian payphone sounds like when it rings, like for real.
Have you actually heard it ring yet, or...? Are you
yes, I have, because I tested this myself. As always, I test these things before
the air.
Before the thing works.
Jeez.
Actually, can you hold on 1 second?
Yeah, sure. Put us back on hold.
Do some filler for a moment.
Okay.
Din samtal är satt på vänting. Vänligt håll linjen. Your call has been placed on hold. Please hold the line.
You know, the last time I was put on hold, they didn't have music, and I started humming to myself and whistling to myself, and it turned out that I wasn't actually on hold, but I was just...
Back.
Oh, you're back? Well, let me finish my story, at least. I wasn't actually on hold, I was just muted, and when I came back, when the woman came back, she started singing along with the song, and it was kind of distracting, but we actually went on for a couple of minutes, going through this little tune, and it was somewhat amusing. So you got to be careful. If you're, for instance, I was having a lot of fun, but if you're cursing someone out, you know, they may just have you on mute.
That's pretty amazing. So here I am in Norway. It's been really weird. You know, this has literally been the longest day of my life because as of last Thursday I was in Holland. I woke up at 6 in the morning. Don't ask why. I guess my sense of time just got all messed up by traveling.
That would be called jet lag.
And since you have to be really careful talking over me because I'm far away.
Yeah, I understand. There's a delay.
You get the satellite effect.
Yeah.
So anyway, I woke up at 6 in the morning, and I have not seen nighttime since then. The sun has been up the whole time for me ever since that point because on that day, I traveled to Norway, then up to Bodø, or I think you pronounce it Bodø, which is a northernmost, one of the most northernmost cities in Norway, and the sun does not go down there. At least it doesn't get dark up there pretty much throughout the summer. I went further up to a town called Tromsø, and that's a really nice place. I strongly suggest people go up there. It's the most northern university town that exists in the world. It's really interesting because in the winter, when all the students are there, it's completely dark. It's always dark, but there's lots of nightlife, I guess, because it's always night. So it's a really interesting place to visit. I wish I could have spent more time there. Very lively. You wouldn't expect it to be so full of life that far up. In fact, there are trees that far up. If you look on the map, you can see how far up this is. It's above anything in Canada. It's above most cities in the world. But yet, because of the Gulf Stream, there's plenty of warm air, so it doesn't get completely frozen, and in the summertime it's quite nice. So
hell isn't frozen over?
Well, hell is actually not in the northernmost part. I traveled down quite a bit now. I'm near Trondheim, which is a bit north of Oslo, but it's by no means the furthest north of Norway. It's not above the Arctic Circle or anything like that.
I thought I was going to get paid for this show. Okay.
Yeah.
Come on, folks. Hell freezes over. I get paid for this. Never mind. Okay. So how cold is it up there, actually?
Get it all out of your system.
All right.
How cold is it? It's really not that cold. I mean, it's summertime, so it's not hot. I'd say probably like in the 50s or 60s.
All right, so it's a lukewarm hell.
Yeah, it was kind of windy up in the north area, but it has an effect on you when the sun is just always up or when it's always daytime. I'm looking forward to night. I think tomorrow when I go down to Oslo, it'll be night. Finally, darkness, sky, stars, that kind of thing.
So the sun sets as you change your latitude. That's always very interesting.
Yeah, that's how it works.
Same kind of way in Alaska.
So we've had some interesting developments going on in the past week since last week. You recall the case of the guy who offended Adobe with the DMCA and all that kind of thing.
Yeah, I was kind of there, but I'm familiar. Yes.
Okay. Are you familiar with the fact that there were massive demonstrations all across the United States yesterday?
No, I was not.
How is it that I'm standing here in hell, and I know about this, and you're in New York where one of the demonstrations took place, and you don't know about this?
Well,
I
live in a cave on Mars with my head in the sand.
Hopefully we'll be hearing from Mike, who was there, who was supposed to be calling in tonight and letting us know just what that was all about. He was at the one in California where I think over 100 people showed up. Outside Adobe headquarters.
Are Mike from New York?
Yes.
He went to California?
Yes.
Okay.
And there was a demonstration in New York that drew about 30 people. That was outside the New York Public Library, which coincidentally and conveniently is right across the street from Adobe headquarters in New York.
Wasn't that nice?
We couldn't have asked for better luck there. Now, if you look at our website today, www.2600.com, you'll see there's a story up there saying that Adobe is now calling for Dmitry to be released from prison. Now, we don't know where he is. We still don't know where this guy is who was taken into custody following the DEF CON conference where he gave a presentation that allegedly violated the DMCA or the program that he distributes violates the DMCA. Just one of many things that we know are going to start happening now that the Digital Millennium Copyright Act is being enforced left and right. Now people are going to start going to prison for it. It's a really scary thing. A lot of people have been asking me about this here in this part of the world because they really can't believe the garbage that we come up with over there. And it's hard for me to explain it, I mean, it's really frustrating. It's really frustrating being an American over here. I was in a taxi on the way over here, and I told the guy I was American. You know what he did? He turned on the radio to a country music station thinking that was going to make me more comfortable.
That's nice of him.
Yeah, well, it was nice of them, but, I mean, that's how we're viewed, as a bunch of country music buffoons.
Well, I don't know if buffoon gets attached to country music listener. I'm kind of a fan of Y107. It's the only source here in the city.
That's my point, but...
Okay.
Let's not dwell on it, all right? Anyway, it's really interesting. And you should head over to this part of the world sometime. I say this to just about everybody because it really puts things in perspective. First of all, for me, it makes me feel a lot more sane and relaxed. Like, for instance, right now I'm standing at a train station. I was able to drive my car, which I was able to rent, without any hassle whatsoever. I'll get into that in a second. But I drove the car right up to the train platform. It's like right on the platform. Can you imagine doing that in the United States? You'd never get away with that, you know?
You drove it onto the platform?
What's that?
You drove it onto the platform?
It's on the platform. It's standing right on the platform. If I pushed it another 3 inches,
it would fall 3 feet onto the tracks.
Yes. It would be on the tracks another three inches or so.
That's kind of frightening, actually.
Yeah,
people get off the train and walk into your...
I'm a real anarchist. I'm, like, about to cause all kinds of mayhem. But you know what? Over here, people are treated as adults. You know, people don't do things like that. So, yeah, you can drive your car onto a train platform, and the whole world doesn't fall apart. Now, here's something else.
But the platform may.
I just went to an... Yeah, if it's built in America, possibly. But I just went to an airport and rented a car as a foreigner from some other country... And they gave me the paper, they gave me the keys, and have you ever rented a car? Yeah, you did.
I actually have a follow-up story on that from a couple of letters people sent me.
I'd like to hear that, because I want to know what happens to people who wreck cars when they rent them.
Not that part.
But basically, I rented this car, and they gave me the keys, and I went and got the keys, got the car, and I expected to get to a point where I hand all the stuff to a person, right, who checks you out.
Right.
No. You just drive away. That's all there is to it.
They don't have those...
You just drive away, and you know, it's perfectly a trusting situation.
There's no possibility of severe tire damage?
No severe tire damage. None of the things that we're used to over there that are so imposing and evil seem to exist over here. And I don't mean just in Norway. I mean, in most countries in Europe that I've been in, you just don't see that, you know? And it really puts things in perspective. It makes you realize how we've been programmed in a particular way to expect people to act badly and to have to have law enforcement to deal with that constantly.
Or perhaps we should lengthen our sentences for various, you know, transgressions here in the States.
Yeah, you know, and I'm not just standing and telling my voice might sound a lot worse than yours.
Yes.
I don't want people to get the impression that means that you're right.
Okay.
It should. Let's make that clear.
It's just another opinion.
I'm in hell, but I'm also the voice of reason. So to consider. You know, no one's figured out how to call this phone yet. Maybe there is something wrong. I called it. I called it from my cell phone. I don't know why nobody else can.
Now, when you call it from your cell phone, would that be a local call?
To be honest. I mean, we're talking on my cell phone now, and God only knows how much it's going to cost me because the BAI phone system doesn't know how to make a phone call.
Actually, I wonder what long distance would cost in hell. The real one.
I'm going to find out.
Okay.
And I'll feel like I never left when I do. You would like Norway, Isaac. You would really like Norway. You know...
Well, I like Alaska, so I imagine I'd like the Norway.
Well, there is a law in this country that you cannot hit your child inside your home or anywhere else.
No, I don't think I like Norway much.
You want to hit children?
Well, it's a disciplinary act, you know. You give them a little swat on the backside and say, hey, you're not supposed to put your hand in the cookie jar. Go ahead.
They don't misbehave. I've never seen so many happy kids. Well, I guess because they're not getting hit all the time, but responsible, well-behaved kids. That's what we seem to have before here. It's different. You don't see people acting the same way. They act so much more mature, and I think it's because people tend to watch out for each other and not abuse each other.
Hmm.
How about this? Okay, here's something else that I think Americans need to hear about the way things are in Norway. You know how much vacation time you get in this country?
Usually 2 weeks.
You're talking about your country, the one you're in right now. I'm talking about the country I'm in right now.
Oh, in your country.
My country, but the country I'm in.
Oh, okay. I don't know, actually.
Okay, but you're right. It's 2 weeks if you're lucky in the United States. And I know so many workaholics that can't even get 2 weeks. In this country... It's 5 weeks.
Okay.
But
maybe this might have a thing to do with them not being a superpower.
Well, you know, you think being a superpower would have advantages. you know, maybe we have some, like, super things going with the superpowerness.
Well, I hear all the time that the United States is the richest country in the world. I'd say that's an advantage. We're 1% of the population, and we consume 20% of the resources. Well,
when do the people start seeing that wealth? That's what I'd like to know, you know?
When it stops getting taxed away from us.
In this country, you don't see people starving. You don't see people who don't have homes. You don't see people who don't have health care. You don't see people who don't have education. Everybody is provided for, you know, and their tax rate is not that much higher than ours.
Sounds like a communist happy land.
Well, you can call it communism if you want, but people here seem a whole lot freer than we are. There's no censorship on TV or radio.
Yeah, but there's only one government-owned channel, no?
That's not true either. There's something called TV3, I believe. TV2 or TV3 is a commercial network. Not only that, they have all over networks from all over the world imported into here, including various United States networks. Do you know that CNN has a totally different feed for Europe that is so much better than the CNN that we get in the United States? There are no commercials. It's all about international news. They speak intelligently, like people understand what they're talking about. There's no sports. There's no fashion. There's no show business. There's no crap, you know? Our own networks treat people with more intelligence outside our country than inside our own country. It's you really have to wonder what's going on.
Well, I've offered to help you move to Canada, but if you really want to go to Norway, I'll do the airfare there.
Well, I appreciate that, Isaac, but what I'd rather do, I'd rather come back and bring some of these radical ideas with me and start spreading them around like some kind of a virus until one day our country is as nice as this country.
Johnny Hecker.
That's what I'd like to do. You know, in this country, what you can do in this country, you can camp out anywhere you want in the wilderness. You can just, I mean, yeah, someone might own a vast amount of land, but you're allowed to camp out there as long as you don't do anything bad to the land, because everyone has the right to enjoy nature. And you know what? This place has no pollution that I can see. I haven't seen any trash on the ground. I haven't seen any significant air pollution. I haven't seen anything that indicates that this place is in any way at war with its own environment.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's I just think people here take care of things so much better, and it's sad that we don't realize that.
Well, I'm not going to contest that. You know, I'm not over there. I'm not, you know, doing samples of the streams or anything, so... Anyhow, you want to start opening this up to callers, or
yeah,
you want to hear my DEF CON
story? I wasn't finished with the vacation time.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
The vacation time got even better. All right, you get 5 weeks of vacation here, but not only that, you know what else you get? You get vacation pay. I don't mean you get paid for your time you take vacation. Yeah, you get that no matter what. You get additional pay so you can have fun on your vacation. You get 10% of your income to spend on your vacation. I mean, is that amazing or what?
Where do these people go on their vacations?
Anywhere they want. And how about this? If you go on a vacation someplace and you get sick, it doesn't count. You get to do it again.
What do you mean it doesn't count?
I mean, this is unbelievable, this place. It's you know, they treat people with respect. They know how to enjoy themselves. They don't pressure themselves. And they don't have the whole world hating them. I mean, you know, that's kind of cool.
All right. It's worth a visit. I'll put it on my itinerary. So what are you doing in Europe in the first place?
Okay, well, basically, I wanted to see this part of Europe. I haven't been here ever before, and it's very educational. I've had a lot of fun visiting the various small towns up in the north, each one of which is completely different, and you can just spend hours wandering around. I found that it's really kind of peaceful to just sort of walk around and explore the side streets and maybe read a book for a few hours. And I just don't get the sense that I have to be doing something else. In the States, if I sit down and read a book, I feel like I'm wasting time somehow, and that I have to be doing something else. But here, people aren't like that. You can just kind of sit and you know, by a stream for a few hours and contemplate life, and that's perfectly okay. That's kind of what humans should be doing.
And you can't do that here. Why again?
It's a feeling that I get, and maybe this is a weakness of mine, but
yeah,
I
think you're on vacation and you're enjoying yourself.
I'm sorry?
I think that you're on vacation and you're enjoying yourself.
Well, no, I mean I'm also working while I'm here. In fact, I was on a train. I was on the phone because GSM reception is unbelievable here. Even in the mountains, most remote part of the country, you get GSM reception with two different companies. And I was using a laptop to edit the magazine, so I was pretty much working like I would normally at home. But I was
without a desk.
Seeing a lot nicer things going by.
Oh, very nice.
The payphone is being surrounded by spiders now. I can see they're crawling up and down the windows.
What is this, a remake of an Alfred Hitchcock movie? You're being attacked by spiders in the payphone?
Nudity on TV. I mean, nudity on TV. That's something that it's just something that they accept, you know? And language. You know, words that we can't use. They use without any problem.
Okay.
I just think it's something that we kind of fall into complacency. And we say that this is something that is just the way it is and we can't challenge it. I mean, Pacifica Radio challenged the seven dirty words back in the 70s. Of course, we didn't win, but at least we challenged it. Today I hear people high up in Pacifica saying that that wasn't a good idea to engage in that fight. Well, you know, if Pacifica doesn't do that kind of thing, who is? Who is going to challenge these ridiculous restrictions and regulations that really cripple our creativity? I mean, here in this country, I see all kinds of things being experimented with and done on TV and on radio, and you know, people expressing themselves and not being penalized for doing so. I'd like to see that kind of freedom in the United States.
Where is it not apparent in the United States?
Well, for instance, we don't show movies on television unless we cut them to ribbons. We take out anything that might offend somebody in Iowa, and we basically change the entire meaning of it from the artist's conception.
Now, we're talking about broadcast or cable?
In this country, you're allowed to broadcast something the way it was originally intended to air, and it goes out over the airwaves, and anybody can watch it. And if they don't want to watch it, they don't. It's as simple as that.
Well, I'm not going to disagree with that. I think that's kind of how things ought to work here, and that the FCC should back off.
Absolutely. But how do we change it? How do we change the system
so that
there is actual freedom on the airwaves? Someone has to take that first step.
Certainly.
You know, a network like Pacifica obviously is in a good step to a good place to do that. And I think that's where we are obligated to constantly be challenging the way things are.
Well,
you know, obviously the commercial networks aren't going to be doing this. Obviously PBS isn't going to be doing this, and NPR. Out there has to be challenging the system.
I'm going to disagree with you in that I don't think it's Pacifica. It's the responsibility of Pacifica to challenge this. I think it's the listeners' responsibility to contact their legislators, and say, listen, you know, we don't like this. It's time to back off and reevaluate just how these rules work.
Yeah, but you see, who are the legislators going to listen to? Individual people or entities like the NAB that pocket them?
Well, last I checked, the NAB doesn't keep them in office. It's it's the voters that do. And
actually, the NAB gives them all kinds of incentives to run in the first place. I mean, it's a corrupt system. It really is. It's, you know, watch Mr. Smith Goes to Washington. You know, it goes back a long, long way.
Mm-hmm.
And individual people have always been frustrated trying to get their legislators to take them seriously. Sometimes you have to go beyond just the electoral process. For one thing, I mean, you know, even if you contact your legislators, what's to say that other people aren't going to contact them too and convince them to go a different direction? You know, I can you honestly say that if 1,000 people contacted Jesse Helms and told him that, you know, R-rated films should be on network TV, that he's going to just change his mind because that many people, you know, told him that?
Well, the next time he runs, when he has that many less votes for because he's not supporting his constituents, I imagine that he might reevaluate his position.
Well, you can imagine that, but I think it'll stay imaginary until people actually stand up and challenge things.
And that's the key. That's the key. People actually have to stand up and say, hey, we're not going to take this anymore.
Yeah, and, you know, if you're in that's sort of what I'm doing right now. You know, I'm on the radio challenging this kind of thing, making people aware that there's a different world out here, you know, there are ways of doing things that are better, and then we need to learn from that. We can't always say that we're on top, we're the best, and close our eyes to the things that are around us. There's good in our system, but there's good in other systems too, and we need to learn that, and we need to import some of it back and make things as good as they possibly can be, and not be afraid to do that. And I always sense that there's this fear of changing the way we do things, because that's somehow an admission of inferiority, and that's the last thing that should be considered.
Interesting you say that, but Well, it is the bottom of the hour, and I suppose we should move along.
Yes. I want to remind people that the HAL conference is coming up.
Yes,
that's Hackers at Large.
In fact, that's
one of the reasons I'm over here, because we're preparing for that. It takes place in Holland at forget the name of the university. I keep forgetting the name of that university, but it's in Holland. You can go to www.hal2001.org, and all the information is there. And it takes place the second weekend of August. And there's 1 week left for pre-registration on the 2600 site. We've had a flurry in the last week of people registering. It's going to be a ton of people from all over the world at this thing. It's really going to be one of the best hacker conferences, I think, that have ever taken place. And after 1 week, we won't be able to register online, but you will be able to register when you come to the actual gate. So if you want to wait to the very last minute, sure, you can always do that. If you want to pre-register, then go to our website, www.2600.com. I really, really, really encourage people to come over, and especially if you've never been to Europe before, because it's a great way to get acquainted with different cultures, different kinds of people, different ways of doing things. And I hope that anybody who comes over, whether it's here, whether it's any other part of the world, just take something back with them and try to build on that. I think that's a very important thing to do. A couple of things that are very important if you do decide to come over. One is there's a book that is really useful for people that travel around like I do, and that's the Thomas Cook Train Guide. Have you seen that, Isaac?
The Thomas Cook Train Guide? No, I'm not familiar with it.
Basically, it's a guide to every single train in Europe. It's the most amazing book. In fact, it even has buses. I have to take buses up in northern Norway because they don't have trains up there. But it has a schedule for every single train and bus in existence, and all kinds of little notes that you need to make your connections and that kind of thing. It's really one of the seven wonders of the world, as far as I'm concerned. So if you get this book, not only will you know what you're doing, but you'll be very popular with all kinds of foreign travelers who will gather around you and ask you questions
as you give them schedule information.
Exactly. Exactly. You become the authority. It's really kind of fun. So I just want to give people an 800 number if they're interested in that, because it really is very very worthwhile. It's 800-367-7984, or you can visit them at www.foresight.com, F-O-R-S-Y-T-H.com. That's just something that completely blew my mind the first time I saw it, just realizing that it's possible to get places so easily and make connections so easily. And I just think it really puts the whole thing in perspective.
Not bad. It's University Twente, by the way.
That's it.
W-E-N-T-E.
Yeah.
Please forward my regards and my respects, as I can't be there. I very much wanted to go, but
it's still very easy to get over here. A Priceline ticket will, probably cost you a couple hundred bucks.
Hmm.
And the accommodations are cheap, if not free, because a lot of people are camping out for this.
They're setting
kind of
up
thing.
Tents on the grounds of the university. That's
mm-hmm.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
We're going to do that for H2K, too?
It's not in a field like the last one where there's nothing around. At least this time there's a university around. So, you have some refuge if it starts to rain.
Okay. Well, we could set up tents in Madison Square Garden until the basketball guys come in and kick us out.
Anyway,
we want to
open up the phones, eh?
Yeah, I think we ought to. It'll be somewhat amusing if I can get this thing working.
I'm kind of surprised my phone hasn't died of battery.
Battery loss? Well, you're in such a strongly covered area that you're probably running at the lowest power at all possible.
Yeah, I think it might make it for the whole show. I still have two little things in my battery. I was afraid that I might lose them.
Well, this is working better than we thought it would.
Yeah, well, it's just costing me a small fortune. That's the only problem.
Well, hey, that's unfortunately part of the game. Oh,
right.
I got a bunch of letters from people who were concerned last week that my entire trip to DEF CON was this miserable sort of thing that revolved around a minor incident in my vehicle, and that I had no fun whatsoever, and that's absolutely untrue. I had a grand old time. I took Amtrak out. So I agree with you that rail is the best way to travel, and I would encourage mm-hmm. everyone to hop on an Amtrak train and go somewhere. Especially here during the summer, they got a 30% off rate for their 30th anniversary. It's very nice. I went out. I think my favorite high point of the entire trip was I stopped at the base of a mountain. I hiked up it, and I watched the sunrise over the mountains in New Mexico, which was absolutely beautiful. And Hacker Jeopardy was a good thing, too. And I was corrected recently that I claimed full responsibility for, or rather, supposedly it seemed that I claimed full responsibility for winning, and that's not true. I have my teammate here, Bobcat.
And I helped a little bit.
Yeah, well, it was a team effort. And
Isaac got more stuff wrong than I did.
Well, I did have the email question. It was, I thought I heard Wynn say 1992, which is what threw me off. But the question was, media file format was previously thought not to be able to carry viruses, and it has since been realized that it can. And my answer was email.
And it's really PDF, as everyone else knew.
I thought it was RTF.
It was PDF.
It was PDF.
You still didn't learn.
Okay. Well, that's besides the point. Anyway, number is 2-1.
It's been an embarrassing moment.
Well, it was. I was forced to drink quite a bit for that answer. Number is 212-209-2900, and go ahead.
Did you press the button yet?
I haven't pressed the button yet.
Okay, I just wanted to tell you about one story.
Go ahead.
That I read. Maybe you can clarify this. I don't get very much in the way of news here because, well, people speak whatever language this is up here, and there aren't very many American newspapers, which forces me to adapt, forces me to keep my eyes open and my wits, you know.
Well, you look at pictures a lot.
I look at a lot of pictures, yeah. I look at the sky, try to read things from that. But I saw this in an old copy of the Herald Tribune. The White House website has dodged an Internet bullet using some technical sleight of hand to sidestep a computer virus dubbed Code Red, according to security expert. Now, the virus beginning last Thursday infected more than 225,000 computer systems around the world, defacing many websites with the message, "Hacked by Chinese."
Oh, no!
Despite the message, the origin of the virus is unknown. Okay, at least they realize that doesn't necessarily mean it was
Chinese. Okay.
The ultimate goal of the virus, known as a worm, is to gather strength by infecting more computers and then have them all attack a numerical Internet address that represents the White House website. The assault is a denial-of-service attack designed to hamper or shut down a computer system by flooding it with huge amounts of data. Now, the White House apparently, get this, shifted its website to a different numerical address to avoid the attack. Pretty swift, eh?
Wow. They took another IP and they repointed the DNS records to it.
They pointed it to a different IP, making the whole thing an exercise in futility.
That was a really badly written worm.
Did you hear anything about this?
I've heard bits and pieces. Honestly, it's not that interesting.
Yeah. I just think it's kind of funny.
I find it amusing that people seem to think that the White House website is this, you know, massive national security bastion on the Internet, where it's...
Well, I find it even more interesting that whenever somebody manages to go in and, you know, change a single word, they're prosecuted as if it was some kind of security system.
Well, you know...
military secrets.
The White House Communications Agency does not screw around, so it's definitely something they take very seriously. But it's not as though, you know, the latest, you know, the B3 plans are sitting on the White House website. You just can't get to them. And somebody manages to hack it out of there. It's sort of ridiculous, but that's besides the point.
Yes. What time is it over there? Because my clocks are all messed up here.
20:38.
Okay, so let's open up those phones.
Do some calls. All right, here we go. Hello, you're on the air. Yes, you're not.
I did press the right button.
All right, well, I'll try another one here.
Yeah, try a different one.
Hello, you're on the air.
You know what you're doing, Isaac?
Hello?
Yeah, hello, Emmanuel.
There you are.
Yeah, are you okay?
I'm fine.
By the way, I tried the number you gave, and I couldn't break through.
You know, I'm standing here in hell, and I'm hearing your voice, and it's just like,
home.
Wow, you know?
All right, here's a couple of questions. Have you recorded every day? I heard somebody say that you were recording, 2600 was recording every day of the crisis, because I'd like to get hold of where we live for a couple of weeks ago, the program. I was accused of having said something nasty about Sally O'Brien, and I didn't make a call in. So
okay, well, there are. You can send us email, and you know, if we have that program, we'll try to
get
your copy.
Well, now here's the next question.
We have been archiving things.
All right, here's the next question.
And we also provide the web streaming for the.
Yeah, I want to know how much does it cost per day to stream a station like WBAI?
It's ridiculously cheap. It really is. It doesn't cost that much at all. You just basically need a nice provider like we have in the form of NAC.net. And you need, competent people who run things, like Hello. The Indy Media Center, which is where things are headquartered. And basically just, an air of competence all around, and it's not a hard thing to do at all. It really isn't.
Well, I asked you a question. How much does it cost?
I don't really know, to be honest. I haven't broken it down per day. But basically, we run a website, the 2600 website. This is something that we can put on the side, and it doesn't really add anything to it, It's
And what was that .net you said before, Intermedia Center?
NAC.net is our provider.
Yeah, how do you spell that?
NAC.net.
NAC.
Yeah.
All right.
All right,
well,
thanks
listen, I wish you have a, when are you coming back?
5 weeks. This is the first of 5 shows where I'll be in different places.
All right, here's the next one last thing. Gary Knowles said he wouldn't do a program about BAI for 3 weeks, and then just this Monday passed, which I guess is yesterday, he went on about WBAI and had Juan Gonzalez on. I don't know if you know that.
Monroe, it's really, that's above and beyond what our program is. It's a different program. You got to ask these questions of those programs. Ask us any question about our program or about the station in general, that's fine, but we can't address issues of other programs.
True enough.
Right?
Yeah. Streaming, by the way, I mean, there's two parts to it. You have an encoder and you have the actual broadcast section of it.
Right.
The encoding is fairly cheap. I mean, you need a PC with a sound card and the encoding software. The actual broadcast, I mean, you basically need a lot of bandwidth to send these out to all
the
different people.
That's why I give a lot of credit to NAC.net, because that's where it actually gets done. And that's where all the bandwidth is coming into play.
And speaking of competent people, we don't thank Junitz enough for doing our program here.
No, Junitz has done an amazing job with just organizing all the people that rebroadcast this show. We should point out that this particular program, Off the Hook, gets done in a completely different way than the normal streaming, because you have all these people gathering forces and kind of linking arms and just making a huge, huge net cast that ordinarily would not be possible. So we usually have several hundred people who are able to listen to this thing. And then, of course, the show gets put up on the net, on the website, and a lot more people download it then and listen to it on delay. So, that's a whole different area. The actual broadcast of BAI, where we just, someone can just click and listen, it's fairly straightforward, fairly simple, and it doesn't really generate all that much traffic. A lot of people seem to think that over-the-net broadcasts are really using lots and lots and lots of different users, that are tuning in. And even commercial radio stations, they're just getting a handful of people. That's something that really needs to be known.
Yeah, they only listen for a few minutes, and then they leave, and somebody else comes in to take their slot.
Yeah, why would you want to listen to a radio station in Sheboygan or whatever that's playing the exact same kind of music as one in Idaho? It's like there's no real reason to do that.
Well, talk radio, I mean, you can listen to the Rush Limbaugh show for 3 hours straight, and people seem to like to do that. They go through bandwidth like you wouldn't believe.
But, you can do that on almost any station on the AM band. There's no reason to tie up the net with that as
That's true enough. Number is 212-209-2900, and we'll take another call right here. Hello, you're on the air.
Tomorrow night on the Learning Channel, at 10 o'clock, there's going to be, I believe, something on hackers. So, check it out.
A good one?
Yeah. I think Kevin's going to be on it.
What's it called?
Hackers.
Well,
hackers,
simple, concise, to the point. I like it.
How many things have been called hackers now?
Let's see. We got a movie.
There was a documentary years ago called Hackers, Heroes of the American Revolution or something like that, or a Technological Revolution. Then there was the film Hackers. Now there's this Hackers. We need better titles.
But maybe we can have our own serial. That'd be good.
Yeah.
Oh, we already
Hopefully
do.
Hopefully people
I'm
can watch that and let us know how it is.
All right. Hello, you're on the air. No, you're not. Ouch. I've been bitten. Okay.
That's a sound I haven't heard in a while.
Hello, you're on the air.
Okay, hi.
Hi.
give that phone booth number in Norway again, because I tried like six times and keep getting a recording.
All right, let's see. Well,
what does the recording say?
The recording says,
right?
We're sorry your call cannot be completed as dialed. Please check the number and area code and try again.
Okay.
Okay, you have to dial 011.
Right.
Then 47, which is the country code for Norway.
Right.
Then 82.
Right.
00.
Right.
02.
Right.
20.
Right. That's when the recording comes on.
Okay. That's you should be getting a Norwegian recording at that point, which is prompting you to enter another phone number, and then that number is 601226. Now, it's, you know, I can't try it from the States, but I did try it from my cell phone, and it worked.
Right, okay.
So I just figured it would work for everybody, but I could be mistaken.
Okay. I'll try again.
Okay. Good luck.
Okay. Thanks.
One cool point from Isaac, if you can answer the line in Norwegian and greet us in Norwegian.
Yeah, maybe that's the problem. Maybe they're not dialing in Norwegian.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Hello, you're on the air.
Isaac Emmanuel, how's it going? It's Alex.
Hey, hey,
Alex, what's up?
Why aren't you here?
I don't know.
Okay.
Why aren't you here?
I was in the city yesterday for the Dimitri protest.
Why aren't you over there?
Well, tell us about the Dimitri protest.
Well, it was good. It actually, I think there was more than 30 people there. I think there were actually around 50. But I think there's probably 30 at any time, because certainly a lot of people came and went. And it lasted for quite a long time, too. I think almost 3 hours.
You know, this is something that really, really inspires me and makes me feel good about the way things are back home, that there were so many protests all throughout the country yesterday about this issue. And they drew a lot of people, and they were pretty vocal. I'm not sure if there was any media coverage. I mean, you know, Isaac doesn't know about it, and he watches the mass media all the time. But,
no, I'm in my cave on Mars.
There were.
Oh, okay, that too. But, you know, did anybody cover it besides us?
I believe that the New York Times was...
Hello? Oh, someone's on a cell phone.
He's breaking up.
Ten cents.
No, he's on a payphone.
Thank you. You have...
There's those infamous tones
cents
again.
Credit okay. Board overtime.
But you'll see the only person that still puts money in payphones.
Oh, let's not go there.
Hey.
No, I mean people use cell phones. They don't use these.
Oh, okay.
Cell phones
much
are ridiculous.
Safer.
You don't need them. It's more of a status symbol to not have a cell phone now than it is to have one.
Well, here I am standing in a payphone using a cell phone.
Yeah. But anyway, I believe the New York Times was there. That's what I heard afterwards. And there was another lady from, I think it was like the Freelance Writers Guild, who was interviewing people. And it was a really good time. I believe we handed out about 2,000 flyers. And some people were actually really interested and stopped and talked. And it was a really good showing. It was pretty inspiring, and despite the heat as well, it was incredibly hot yesterday in Manhattan.
Yeah, well, Emmanuel's in hell, so, you know, he should know.
Yeah, but, you know, it's not very hot in hell. It's actually kind of nice. It's a little windy, but...
it's a pleasant day in hell. That's something I never thought
I heard. Adobe now is saying that they want Dimitri released as well. Is that correct, Alex?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah, they're backpedaling.
There's a lot of discussion on the Free Dimitri list about that. Whether they had a conference with the EFF at the time of the protests. I believe that the negotiations with the EFF, actually I don't know if it was negotiations, but it was more of a conference, I think. Mm-hmm. And after the conference, they decided that, well, maybe we did the wrong thing, and now we're calling for his release.
Okay,
so you
but
can
the
say,
Department of Justice is the one that really has to make that decision now, right?
Well, absolutely, yeah, but it was on Adobe's complaint,
right,
that they arrested Dimitri.
If they decide they don't want to press charges.
Right. Well, you need a complainant in order to hold somebody in prison or to actually have charges against somebody.
Correct.
But the whole thing is just absolutely ridiculous. I mean, it really goes to show you that the DMCA is completely misguided. And it wouldn't be such a bad thing if Dimitri's case was used to strike this thing down, provided that he was not killed.
I'm not again.
Time for another nickel. There we go.
Uh-oh.
You have 15 cents credit.
The search begins.
5 cents more for the next.
I'm standing in hell.
Minute.
I don't have this kind of problem.
Thank you.
That was a nickel? You back?
Yeah, I'm back.
Okay.
I'm back.
Well, make it quick. You only got a nickel in there.
Yeah, that's true. Hope nobody's recording those tones. I what was I? I don't even remember what I was saying.
You see how they do it? They distract you with all these, like, stupid interruptions.
But the DMCA
that's
would be
the
okay.
The American system at work right there is, please deposit another nickel, you know,
right.
Because you were thinking too much.
Who was the representative that actually said, you know, we have to take intent into account with the DMCA? Because that's really what needs to be done here. I mean, obviously, Dimitri's intent was not to facilitate pirating in any way. Mm-hmm. Why should he be held in prison? You need intent in order to hold somebody liable for a criminal act.
Well, isn't that what the cryptographic clause is for? It
absolutely,
says for pure cryptographic research, it's not applicable?
It's being totally disregarded, though.
It seems to be very selective enforcement. I mean, he's a foreign national that, you know, is seen as some kind of security threat because of that, because his name is Dimitri, apparently.
10
absolutely.
Cents, please.
This is getting ridiculous.
Yeah, why don't you go away, Alex?
Alex, we're going to have to move on.
Yeah.
Okay.
Nice, good talking to you.
Get a calling card.
Yeah, all right. Have a good time, Eric.
Goodbye.
Bye.
All right.
209-2900.
That's right.
What time do we have?
We got 11 minutes minus 2, 9 minutes.
Okay, because time doesn't work the same way in hell.
What time the program just goes on forever. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Hello, you're on the air.
Why don't you go away? Alex, we're going to have to move on.
Okay, you gotta listen to the phone.
That's like going back in time.
You got to listen to the phone and not the real audio stream there, fellow.
That's
okay.
Hell, too.
That one, that was no good.
You know what? I'm going to stand outside. Why do I have to stay in a phone booth?
Exactly. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi. Two things. First, I hope you don't go bankrupt. Because
why would we go bankrupt?
The EU has started an inquiry into excessive roaming fees.
Oh.
You might want to lower your radio there. You're kind of echoing.
Yeah, what?
Yeah, well,
all right, I didn't mean to make him go away, but...
You made him go away?
And secondly, there were articles in the Times both Monday and Tuesday on the Dimitri case in the business section.
Oh, there is? Okay.
That's just about it.
Okay.
Have a good time in hell. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Sounds like you meant that.
Oh, jeez. We're having...
Well,
go ahead.
I'm standing on the platform of the Hell train station. Needless to say, there are no trains going back and forth this time of night.
You're standing next to your car on the platform?
Well, no, I'm walking way past it now. I'm walking down the platform.
You sound better now that you're not in the booth, by the way.
I should point out there are people camped out here, too. In this country, people just camp out wherever they feel like camping out, and they seem to have a lot of fun doing it.
Yes, and here in this country, we call them hobos.
Well, you can call them that, I suppose, but they're families, and they're basically traveling across the country and doing all kinds of things. I saw a whole family before jumping up and down when a train went by. They were really getting into it.
Were they trying to catch it?
They seem to really enjoy trains, and I really enjoy trains, too, so
I
can identify with that. When you're in a train going by, people wave at you.
Yeah, it's very cool.
It's very cool.
All right, let's go for another call here. Five's a good number. Hello, you're on the air.
Hey, how you doing?
All right.
I just want to let you guys know that on Silicon Spin right now, on Tech TV, they're covering the Dimitri case as we speak. They've been covering since 8:30, so I don't know. They showed some footage from the protests and stuff, but just to let you know, I wasn't really paying attention to it. I was listening to you guys, and the sound's off, so I don't know what they're talking about, but I know they're covering it.
Well, thank you.
Too bad more people can't get Tech TV, though. That's the problem.
No, but he was listening to us, which is a vote of confidence for our competency. I like that. Not bad.
I just want to give you a heads up, all right?
All right, thank you.
Thanks.
Bye. I'll have to try to catch that in a rerun here. Yeah. All right, number 10. Hello, you're on the air.
Hey, what's up? This is FK and Mike.
How are you doing?
We were wondering, when's Isaac going to get a show?
When is Isaac going to get a show? Well, as soon as Emmanuel reports that hell has frozen over, I'm sure that WBAI will gladly give me a show here.
Well, you know, this hell does freeze over, and I think the hell in Michigan freezes over, too.
That's
true. I don't know what that statement means.
But yeah. That would be the response that I would expect when hell freezes over. I don't know. Well, you want to give me one?
Well, Emmanuel's all cool and all. You know, I love this show, and, like, Emmanuel's the dude on this show. But, like, I like to hear, like, more of Isaac, you know, like, kind of on your own, you know?
Okay.
Well, Isaac's also on the Expert Witness show, so you can hear him there as well.
Yeah, so I engineer over there, and I'm kind of silent, but...
I'm only on one show.
My presence is on the Expert Witness.
There's more of Isaac than there is of me.
All right, thanks a lot.
Yep.
You have a good evening. All right, let's go. You see, that's a vote of confidence for me. I like it.
That's right.
All right, here we go. Number 2. Hello, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
Isaac?
Yes.
Hi.
How are you?
I'd like to say
I'm glad that you're having a happy time in hell, Emmanuel.
Thank you.
And
weekend in
also,
hell.
Hello?
Yeah.
Yeah, also, I thought I'd inform you on the very important publication, the Sunday edition of Drabble. Yes, the main character walks around and he's followed by security cameras everywhere. I don't know, I thought it would apply to you.
Hmm.
All right, you know, I should point out, okay, as long as you bring that up, I'm in a foreign country, and not a single person has harassed me for looking suspicious. I can't even get into our own building where I work at WBAI without being labeled as a suspicious person. But here in this country, nobody looks twice, nobody questions me. I've seen one policeman the whole time I've been here since last Thursday.
Well, if you skip
I mean,
across...
this is a healthy environment. What we have in America is not healthy, and it needs to be addressed.
Well, if you skip across the channel, your opinion may change as you walk around London, one of the most surveilled cities in the world.
Well, what's your point about London?
Well, my point is that not all of Europe is in agreement with that non-surveillance policy.
Oh, well, no, I mean, as far as the surveillance, no. The English have certainly made some strides there.
They've outdone us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Surveillance has to be something that is kept in check.
I think we can take one more. Hello, you're on the air. Ooh, running out of time. Oh, too late. Okay. Number nine. Hello, you're on the air. Yes, you're not.
People are dropping off.
I guess.
Let's try another one.
Hello, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hey.
Hey, whatever happened to the Ken Leo Rosa show?
Huh?
Excuse me?
Whatever happened to the Ken Leo Rosa show?
How are we supposed to know the answer to that?
Beats me. This isn't the programming hour here. All right.
I don't even think that was on our radio station.
I guess. All right. Let's move on to number six. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, I think it's Bobcat. I'm sitting in the studio, and I just wanted everybody to know that I figured out how to dial directly into...
Okay, that he just went away. Ah, jeez.
That's unusual.
That's very strange. Hello, you're on the air. No, you're not. You're a dial tone. Lucky number seven. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, how you doing?
All right.
Let me turn this to a CD. Hello. Hey, listen, guys. You ought to know about a phone in Jamaica train station?
The Jamaica train station.
Okay, yeah. Tell us.
If you go there and you call information, any information number you ask for, it'll connect you to. Without asking
cool.
for any money.
So that'll be disconnected later tonight.
Well, it probably will, but all the phones can't do that.
Not bad. All right, we'll try another one here. Number five. Hello, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hello? That's not good. Turn down radio.
Okay, feedback across the ocean. That's really nice.
Hello, you're on the air. Speak up.
Oh, hey, how you doing? Great show, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks. Actually, the story about the Russian national was one of the top stories tonight on WBAI on the news.
Oh, very good.
Well, I'm very glad that WBAI is covering it, and that's, you know, it upsets me when we miss stories, so I'm glad that we're getting this one. That's very important.
And actually, according to that report, is it Adobe? They don't want to press charges.
Right.
Right.
Okay, so you guys are ahead of me. Maybe I misunderstood.
Yeah. And if people want to hear that, they can tune in again at 11 o'clock. The VAI news is repeated then.
Right, and apparently his fate, I apologize for not taking notes and knowing everybody's name involved, but his fate lies in the hands of the gentleman who is now apparently going to be our next FBI, head of the FBI.
That's right. I heard the same thing, that the guy that Bush has nominated to be the next FBI head is the person in charge of this case. So, yeah, that's a very interesting point.
Right, and the reporter who did the story, whose also name eludes me at this moment, she mentioned that because of his pending nomination, if trying to prosecute a Russian national seems to be...
Non-kosher?
Well, for lack of a better term,
okay.
that you know, it may bode well.
Well,
for him.
We're running out of time. So,
okay.
Thanks for your call.
Have a great trip.
Thanks.
All right. Last words from hell?
God damn it. I'm sorry. But I just turned around and the sun's out again. The sun came out during my shot. It never went down. It never left. It's been up the whole time. The nighttime has eluded me yet again. And it's 3 in the morning now, so this is sunrise.
All right. Well, enjoy your... We'll call you back next week. Hopefully we'll have a little more success. And you won't have
nice
to be on your on your cell phone again, all right?
Yes.
Well, take
all
care,
right,
sir.
Well, I'll see you later.
All right.
Inviting you to join me Sunday nights at 9 for Everything Old is New Again. It's an unusual mix of big band jazz, swing, show tunes, pop standards, and contemporary cabaret. That's Sunday nights at 9 for Everything Old is New Again with me, David Kenny, only at 99.5 FM, WBAI, New York. When everything old.